August edition of the Weekly Fantasy Lounge Podcast. I'm Brandon, known as Ritz at the Lounge, alongside my partner Kevin, or the Fantasy Guru, as he likes to call himself. He's actually quite the opposite.
Thanks. This weekend, we'll argue about baseball trade deadline and a few big topics in football.
We'll start with deadline deals. One of the bigger deals to go down was Bobby Abreu and Corey Lytle to the Yankees for basically nothing. The Yanks also acquired Craig Wilson from the Pirates for Sean Chacon. As a Yanks fan, what's your take on this?
First deal, the second deal I actually like.
The Craig Wilson deal?
Yeah, because there's no enough point of having Chacon in the rotation. He's not even in the rotation, so there's no point of having him. And you get a nice bat like Wilson, who was having a nice year, and he can play first base because Andy Phillips just wasn't cutting it anymore, and they wanted a guy over at first base because they want to play Giambi at DH. The first deal I don't like. You're going to have Matsui coming back soon. And Sheffield a little after that. And, you know, that's just a crowded outfield. And, you know, there's been talk that they're going to put Sheffield at first base. So, you know, who knows how that could work out. So, I didn't care for the deal.
Well, here's my take on it. I doubt you'll see Sheffield at first because of Craig Wilson. But I think what the Yankees were doing was they were acquiring their first baseman of the future. I think Craig Wilson's going to be there for a while. Giambi's almost done. And I think when Sheffield and Matsui get back, it's going to be an outfield of those two and Damon. Abreu, or even one of the four outfielders, including Abreu, is going to DH because you won't have Giambi to DH anymore. And you have Wilson at first. I like the deal, despite what I said last week, because they did give up three minor leaguers, but, I mean, honestly, their system sucks. And the guys they gave up, I mean, they're not going to come to the bigs, and they're not going to be Bobby Abreu. And the thing is, Bobby Abreu is exactly what the Yankees need. He's not going to hit you 40 home runs like he used to. He's got 8 this year, but, you know, he's what the Yankees had back in the 90s when they were winning. He's that type of player. He can run, he can field, he can do everything. He's a 5-tool guy. And I think it was a good trade for them because they're, you know, they really didn't give anything up. Chacon, I mean,
the one thing I dislike is, you know, his Tejada, is a Abreu's contract. He's making $21 million over the next 2 years.
Since when do the Yankees have problems paying contracts?
They don't. It's just that you got Melky Cabrera there. He can start in right field next year.
I'm not sure Cabrera's ready.
Well, he's having a good year this year. He's at number 280. I mean, with that lineup, you don't need another power guy. I mean,
he's not a power guy, though. That's the point.
I don't know.
8 home runs is not power.
But he's hit more power than that before.
On base
percentage, this guy, he's hit, what, 30? There's been years where he's hit 35, 40 home runs.
427 on base percentage, and it's only going to go up.
I don't know. That's a good. That Phillies lineup, come on, it's pretty good. And then you got Rollins, Howard, and Utley in that lineup.
Well, we haven't even got to Lytle yet. He's a back of the rotation guy. Middle of the road at best, but he did win his debut start on yesterday. He had 6 innings pitched, only gave up 4 hits and 2 walks, and only 1 run.
Yeah.
5 strikeouts.
Well, I watched the game yesterday. Yeah, he pitched well. I thought, you know, I like him.
All they need is a middle of the road guy.
Plus, because there was nobody out there, except Barry Zito, and the A's were asking for too much for him, and he's in his last year of his deal. So
I don't understand how a Yankee fan can't like this deal. Anything is better than Chacon.
Chacon pitched well. I mean, you know, last year was probably a fluke, the way Chacon pitched. It was, you know, it's like Aaron Small. They both pitch the best of their careers, and they won't ever pitch like that again. But the only thing I don't like about it is the money Abreu is making, and now you don't have a spot for Cabrera in right field. That's the only two things I don't like about the deal.
I actually see an opening here for the Yankees to maybe make another move this offseason and trade away one of their contracts. You know, get rid of a Giambi. Maybe even get rid of a Sheffield.
Well, Sheffield's gone after this year. His contract's up. I'm positive he's gone. So
yeah, that's what I meant. There's no way he's going to be back. But, you know, I don't know. That's probably why they made the move to get Abreu.
But also, Wilson might be another stopgap for Eric Duncan, because we know this guy's going to be a major league player. He's still 21 years old, and I mean, he does have a low batting average. I mean, he was hitting 257. We just checked it. But the guy can, I mean, the guy's going to be a good hitter. I mean, he's got tremendous power.
But once again, that's what the Yankees are doing wrong. They don't need this power in the line. They don't.
But he's a young guy. He'll be a young guy that come in, and he won't be a big contract. I mean, they won those championships with homegrown players, not big contracts.
They were Abreu-like players, too.
Okay. There were other deals, and another team made a big splash in the market. The Dodgers acquired Greg Maddux for Cesar Torres and Julio Lugo for two minor leaguers, and they also got Wilson Benamet for Danny Baez. I know you like these moves, but why?
The Dodgers made... I know I'm probably in the minority. The Dodgers were brilliant. Okay, first of all, Maddux started the season off wonderful, and everybody was aware of it. And he struggled lately because his ERA is up to about 4.5. But he's still got the potential to be solid. The Dodgers aren't going to be able to lock him up past this year anyway. But he's... The way it looks, I mean, if Maddux can go in and pitch halfway decent, this deal was good. Torres was involved in the logjam they have in the middle infield. At the same time, though, they got Lugo and Benamet, which, you know, I'm not sure what they were thinking there. But it also gives them a little bit more, you know, it gives them more flexibility. Because you have Jeff Kent coming back. But Lugo is the best middle infielder available. The Dodgers can play him at third, second, or shortstop. He's hitting .303. They have Furcal, Betemit, Sines, and Lugo. And basically, their middle infield is really solid.
That's six guys, though, at four positions. That's too many.
It's four guys.
It's Betemit, Lugo. I'm also talking about Furcal. That's five. That's
three. And then Kent, but he's hurt. So
yeah, but Kent's gonna be coming back soon. So you got five guys at four positions. I don't know how that's gonna work, but if you guys remember a couple years ago, Torres just won a Gold Glove, and he has a nice bat, and he'll steal you bases. So the jury's still out on Benamet, but Torres is a sure Baez, thing. I don't know.
Baez was garbage.
Yeah, he was garbage. Well, yeah.
And, you know, I think I'm not even really all that concerned about the infielders they have. I mean, Lugo is a great pickup, and I don't think anybody can deny that Lugo's a solid player.
I think if they were going to go out and do anything, they shouldn't have went out and got Soriano.
Just any team can just go out and get Soriano.
But the Dodgers have the minor league talent. They have probably the third best system behind the D-backs and Angels in baseball. So they had the talent to go out and get a Soriano. You could have got Soriano and tried to lock him up because, the Dodgers have all the Latino. They have a lot of Latinos on that. Latino players on that team. So he'd fit in comfortably there. So I thought that would have been a good spot for him, but I don't know. I mean, Greg Maddux is, he's not the same Greg Maddux. I mean, he did pitch six no-hit innings last night, but. I mean, can he keep that up the rest of the year? I don't think so.
Well, I don't think anybody thought he was going to keep it up the rest of the year when he was doing it for the Cubs in the beginning. Chances are, and the rumors are, he's going to go back to Chicago at the end of this year.
I don't know. I mean,
I could see it happening. I mean, come on. The Dodgers have a chance.
Honestly, how many innings does Greg Maddux really have left? I mean,
true, but let's be honest here. The NL West sucks. The Dodgers have a great chance to make the playoffs. They have a chance to go. They even have a chance, some kind of chance to, you know, make it past the first round. I think adding Maddux is, you know, that's good for the playoffs. And
I don't know.
Dodgers must be confident they're going to make the playoffs if they got Maddux, because you wouldn't get him for the second half of the year.
And you want to give up a Gold Glove shortstop for him, so.
They must be confident in it. And yeah. I think if they do get to the playoffs, then that solidifies their rotation pretty decent. And I think.
I don't know. I mean, you got Penny and you got. Lowe's has been terrible the last month and a half.
Right, but we know what Lowe's capable of.
Yeah, but, I mean, Derek Lowe, I don't know. I mean, he was great with the Red Sox, but he just hasn't been the same since he's been with the Dodgers. So, you know, you never know. They have to leap over some teams to either get the wild card or to win the division. So.
Well, the NL West is three games spread between first and fifth right now, so.
Yeah.
I think it's possible. Well, as we touched on, probably the biggest story was one that never even happened. The highly anticipated Alfonso Soriano deadline deal never even happened. What happened there?
well, a lot of teams showed interest in him, and I just think at the very end, teams just didn't want to give up, you know, the talent that they were the Nationals were asking for. Now there was a rumor, you know, it was just a widely spread rumor that Jose Rio, who is in the Nationals front office, when the Nationals were in LA, came in to talk to Soriano.
Yeah, they flew him in. They flew him to LA to convince him to stay. Because if you remember, a few days before the deadline, Soriano said he wanted to stay, and the Nationals still weren't sure what they were going to do. But when they got Rio in there to, you know, talk to him, you know, maybe he convinced him. That's what the story is. Apparently, he convinced him to stay, and he says he wants to re-sign with Washington, but he's not going to guarantee anything. So we all know what that means. The Nationals may have just gotten royally screwed out of this deal. But if he does resign, then, you know, props to the Nationals. But yeah, I don't know. I don't see much in that team to warrant re-signing him. I thought they should have traded him either way.
Yeah, he wants to go to a place where he can, you know, win a championship and also get a, you know, get some money, you know, get his money.
Maybe move back to his normal position.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he actually hasn't been. He's in the top of the National League in outfield assists, so maybe he will play outfield or something like that. But, you know, I see him going back to American League team, playing second base. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the Yankees, but you never know. But, I mean, this was definitely the most surprising part of the whole trade deadline. I mean, we were talking about it for a month and a half, 2 months, that he was going somewhere, and I truly thought he was going to go to the Angels, because they had the most minor league talent, and it looked like they were willing to give it up, but just at the very end, they just didn't give it up. So, the best team in baseball also made a small move. The Tigers traded Brian Rogers for Sean Casey. Shortly afterward, they sent Chris Shelton down in the minors. How did this affect the teams? Jeez, I can't read.
Well, this deal seems, you know, unimportant, but really there's a little bit of a story here, because as soon as the Tigers obtained Casey, they put Shelton down in AAA, and we all know the year that Chris Shelton was having at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, he was just amazing. I mean,
it was like 9 home runs in the first 10 games or something like that. Casey's hitting .291. So I think we're seeing a real commitment from the Tigers to win, and I don't think we've seen this from the Tigers
in a couple decades.
I don't know. I mean, I think this is a great move for the Tigers, because they're showing their commitment to win. And, you know, Brian Rogers, who's actually even heard of the guy? He's not going to be a...
Is that Kenny Rogers, like, are they related at all?
I don't know, but
it probably doesn't suck as bad as Kenny has last month. But
I mean, when you can get Sean Casey's a quality player, what in the world are the Pirates doing?
I don't know. I mean, they got Chacon, then they got who knows what they're doing? I mean, they've been terrible since the early '90s, and it will continue until they build a farm system up, get some good young players, and get them in there and to play. But I kind of feel bad for Jason Bay and a couple other guys on that team, because they're just horrible and can only get worse. But this is a good deal for the Tigers.
Speaking of those Pirates, the NL favorite New York Mets also made a move. They moved Xavier Navy for Roberto Hernandez and Oliver Perez to the Pirates in a deal that seems like just Navy and Hernandez, because Perez has just been downright awful. What do you think?
Well, you know what this move means. Lassen's Bellinger is going to come up and play right field.
Well, I think that was no-brainer for the time he came up.
Right. But, yeah, like you said, Perez has been downright horrible. And the Mets needed another bullpen arm, because Duaner Sanchez got in a minor car accident and hurt his shoulder. And he's out for the year.
Something like that.
So,
got hit by a taxi or something?
Yeah, they needed, in New York that probably happens a lot, but they needed another bullpen arm, and maybe Hernandez will come in and help them. in late innings.
You know, I think I'm one of the few that actually likes Perez. If you've seen him pitch, he's got all the wonderful stuff in the world. You know, maybe this is the next Jose Contreras, a guy that doesn't live up to his expectations. He still strikes guys out. He does give up runs and hits, but he strikes guys out. He's got the potential, but even that's not even the biggest part of the deal. Nady just doesn't get on base. 15 unintentional walks in over 300 at-bats, and at the same time, Roberto Hernandez has been unhittable. And, you know, this solidifies their bullpen, and we all know when you get to the playoffs, the bullpen is one of the key components to winning.
I think if I was a Mets fan, I'd be a little disappointed because we heard that they were going to get Berizzito and they didn't do it. And you know, they would have had to give up millage for him, but just imagine a rotation of Zito, Pedro, and Glavine in the playoffs. I mean, that's pretty tough to beat.
Well, even
with the go with that, you know, with Beltran and Delgado and Wright. I mean,
well, even
that's
with
a World Series team right there.
Even just Pedro and Glavine is probably going to be enough come playoff time with their offense. I mean, usually in the playoffs, you know, two or three really, really good playoff starters is going to do you the job as long as you have a good enough offense to carry you.
Aren't you a little concerned about Pedro, though? Pedro's been hurt. I mean,
he just
came off the DL. And
Pedro's been hurt before, and he's come back from it before. I'm really not worried at all. He's been excellent this year. I would assume that he'd come back just as good, and you can't forget Glavine either. He's not gonna be a Cy Young candidate, but he's solid in the playoffs.
Does this mean that Perez is their third starter now, or what? Because I mean, they don't how much. I mean, they could have C. Traxel put in the third slot, or
I don't really think it matters.
I don't know. They got that.
I really don't think
too.
It matters because you know, they're after 1 and 2. There's a big drop off. Traxel's been good at times this year. You know, maybe we'll see Perez turn it around even.
He's got one of the nastiest curveballs I've seen. I saw him rolling in the air and it's a nine back.
He's got all the stuff in the world. He reminds me of Contreras in the way that he has all the stuff in the world, but he just isn't performing.
Yeah, maybe
a change of scenery will help him. And yeah, he's going to the biggest city in the country, but you know,
well, no pressure on him. He's not,
I don't know.
He's not going to be a top starter for that team. Now we move on to football, where we have a major injury, a signing, and a bad QB situation.
First off, Steve Smith was injured at practice this week and expected to miss 2 to 3 weeks with a hamstring. What's up with that?
Well, he's had a little injury past. Just remember 2 years ago, he only played in one game because he was injured. But the rest of his career, he's only missed 2 games in his 5-year career. So, looks like he's going to miss a couple weeks here of training camp, but he should be right for the season.
Yeah, he caught a few passes on the sidelines on Tuesday, and that was the latest I've heard. But, you know, all indications is he's going to be ready for the season. I'm not sure I would even bump him on your draft board at all.
Yeah, I mean, I had a couple drafts this week, and like guys like T.O. and Fitzgerald and Johnson were going before him, and
that's,
you know,
crazy.
I'd pick him I would get him in the late second round. I mean, that's just, he's not, come on, guys. He's still the best receiver in football, and I don't think a hamstring injury will affect him that much. A recent signing could also affect your fantasy rankings. The Chiefs traded for Michael Bennett. This could alter Larry Johnson's fantasy rankings, don't you think?
No. LJ is the man. I think the Chiefs know that. You have to have two running backs, and with Priest Holmes, you know, his future, we don't know what's going to happen. I think this was a good move by the Chiefs, and I don't think LJ is going to get any less carries than he would have before, unless, of course, Priest Holmes would never have touched the ball. But I think, you know, there are people who thought LT was more valuable than Larry Johnson, and I think now they can officially move him ahead in their drafts, but I'd still go with Larry Johnson.
It could affect just a tad because, you know, you don't want to give LJ too much of a load. I mean, you need to give him a little bit of rest, and Bennett will do that. I mean, just what was it, 3-4 years ago, where he had over almost 1,300 yards rushing. So, he's a capable backup, just in case, you know, something bad happens, LJ gets hurt or something like that. So, you know, the Chiefs don't want to ride too heavily on Priest, so, because, you know, we don't know what's going on there with Priest home, so.
Another story around football with little fantasy impact, but interesting to follow nonetheless, is the Jets' quarterback situation. How is this shaking out?
Well, a report just came out yesterday, or a couple days ago, out of the New York Star Ledger that said that announced Pennington as the starting QB, but the source was an unnamed Jets official, and it wasn't Eric Mangini, so, you know,
well, here's
it's an interesting situation.
Last night, I was looking around, and they were reporting that Mangini said that he had made his decision. But then I found another article citing Mangini saying that it was going to be Pennington, but he was waiting to make it official in the press. It's just, either way, this is a big mess. You know, you got Patrick Graham, Kellen Clemens, and Brooks Bollinger, and none of them are, you know,
going to... I like Pennington to be the starter. But the guy I like the most is Kellen Clemens, from Oregon. He's a rookie. I think he can come in, you know how rookie quarterbacks are. I mean, they're going to have a tough adjustment, but I think this guy can come in and put up some solid numbers. But Pennington's going to be the starter. You know, there's a big question mark on his arm strength. You know, what's his arm strength like? Can he last through a whole season? I mean, last year he played in 3 games, and in 03 he played 10, and 04 he played 13. So it's just a big key for him to stay healthy, but, you know, it's a big if. But should be improved a little bit over last year, I think.
I would definitely stay away from this, no matter what, in drafts.
Right, I agree.
Well, we also have a baseball update for you. In the Fantasy Lounge Keeper League, Zach, our other administrator, is ahead and first, followed by, we have a couple teams, you know, right below him, Dirty Dicks, Foul Balls, and Panzram Psychos, and boy, Panzram, man, he's tearing it up. He's got us in the points league that we have with FPM. We have the challenge points league with FPM. He's leading there, too, and then Kevin's in third. Mm-hmm. We're doing pretty good in that league, but, you know, Panzram's turning into...
He's kicking our butts, basically.
Yeah. So I'm pretty pleased with our showing in the FPM league. I think we're showing we can hang with anybody.
Yeah, I think you'll see in the next week or so me being in first place.
Yeah.
Just mark my words, mark it down. So, you know, it's one of those bold predictions, like Notre Dame winning the national championship this year. Mark that one down, too. And ASU not winning 6 games this year.
All right.
What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, we were talking about her.
Also, we wanted to tell you guys, we recently joined a basketball league. It's a sports forum competition. And there's 2 managers from 6 sites making a 12-team league. And the lounge was invited. So... We'll keep you guys updated on that.
It's going to be a tough league.
It's going to be real tough, probably one of the toughest we've been in. So hopefully, you know, we can finish together in the top half.
I'm not making predictions on that one, that's for sure. Yeah. I'm not confident enough to make a prediction with the guys that are in that league.
And then, of course, we have the Cafe Challenge League.
It's funny to talk about that.
So we'll keep you guys updated on that, too, once basketball season starts. So, that's going to do it this week, guys.
Make sure to check out www.fantasyloungeforums.com and send in your mailbag questions at admin@fantasyloungeforums.com. Hope you guys have a great week, and we'll have another show posted next Friday.
Thanks, guys.